Tonight is about each other. Tonight is about relentless football. And anything about to touch the football can get knocked out tonight. Let's do what we do best on three. One, two, three.
Welcome, everybody. Welcome, Ravens Nation, to a brand new edition of The Call. It's a podcast about the Super Bowl champion Baltimore Ravens, and we're going to talk anything and everything about Baltimore Ravens football. Joining me, as always, is my buddy Josh. What's going on, man?
Hey, Ravens Nation. Brandon, that's right. We're going to talk anything and everything Ravens, and what's this weird news about Jacoby? Let's start off with some good wholesome entertainment news.
Let's talk about that. Hopefully you're not on any sort of party bus as we're talking right now.
Well, hey, keep it down, guys. Keep it down. Yeah, I just told him to turn the volume. But let's just set the stage here. Set the equation, okay? I tweeted this earlier, and Brandon, I do apologize. I meant to put your Twitter name in there to tag you in it, but I forgot. But let me just set the stage. You ready?
All right.
Try Sweet Pea hits Jacoby with Ace of Spades. Now, does that add up in any sort of order? No, it makes no sense. It sounds like gibberish. But pretty much that sets the stage for the story. And if nobody heard, apparently Jacoby was out celebrating Mr. Brian McKinney's birthday. I don't know what day this was, Friday or Saturday, but it was over the weekend.
No, that was this morning. It was apparently like Monday morning at 3 a.m.
This morning. I thought it was this week. See, I've heard 50 different stories. I was going to say, apparently that's why McKinney had two face mask penalties in a row, because he was still hungover. It was a little slow. But anyway, happy birthday, big boy Brian McKinney. But anyway, here's the celebration went down like this. Apparently what's been told is they were out partying at 3 a.m. on a party bus. The stripper called Sweet Pea. I don't know who Sweet Pea is. I've yet to even had a glance of her. Hopefully she's good looking.
Wow.
Sweet Pea, yeah, I don't know. I had some guys try to Google it, and we couldn't find anything. There's 50 million Sweet Peas out there. Apparently, Sweet Pea got an altercation on the bus, and there's this, this expensive bottle of liquor. I've never even heard of the Ace of Spades. Apparently, it's like $1,000 at the club, $350 at your local liquor joint. So, apparently, it's an expensive Ace of Spades. It's probably one of the most expensive cards in the deck I've ever seen. And apparently, the Miss Sweet Pea here hit her own Jacoby Jones over the head with Ace of Spades and hurt him pretty bad. So that's all I know. I don't know the extenuation of injuries. I mean, Brandon, did you hear anything?
I know that from a police report that was on. I mean, this is how you know this is kind of legit. It was on TMZ. They reported it, and they're saying that
they talk everything and everything entertainment, right?
Exactly. Yeah.
Exactly.
And I have no idea if maybe like Jacoby was critiquing her pole dancing skills, because I don't know if pole was really a kind of dance that he did on Dancing with the Stars. Yeah, exactly. So that could be something like that. Maybe he said something, hey, Sweet Pea, your conditioning is wrong or your technique is wrong, and she got mad and hit him over the head. But I heard that he was bleeding profusely from his head.
That's what I heard.
So it seems like he's got at least some sort of gash on his head. Now, no charges were filed or anything like that. So it seems like Sweet Pea and Jacoby Jones and Brian McKinney are going their separate ways. Supposedly, Brian McKinney has known Sweet Pea for a long time, since about 2003. And this is the big thing that I want to talk about. This is kind of Brian McKinney is kind of known for this thing. I mean, he's gotten into a lot of trouble with a lot of different football teams because of his off the field antics, and that's one of the reasons why I thought the Ravens weren't going to sign him again, because of what he pulled, you know, last training camp, coming in overweight, coming in late, just not showing up, not calling anybody, and then he sat out all of the regular season. So I'm interested to see, because this kind of was like John Harbaugh saying, all right, you did good in the postseason. You got us to the Super Bowl. I really do think he was key in keeping Joe Flacco safe back there in the run to the Super Bowl. But what is he going to do now? I mean, Jacoby Jones is out. That's another thing we're going to get on to. We're going to get on to Jacoby Jones being out at 3 a.m. Next. I want to talk about Brian McKinney right now. But what is this guy doing? Is this okay for an NFL star with a pass like this to be doing this as a Baltimore Raven?
I don't think so. No. And excuse me, you do bring up a good point about Jacoby being out at 3 a.m. I mean, these guys are adults. They're grown men. They're going to do what they're going to do. But Jacoby's got to be recovering now and getting back from the squad, and he's out partying, and this happens. It just really, I don't know what to make of it. Let's just hope that it all goes away. It all gets, cleared up, whatever needs to be cleared up, and let's hopefully he's got a full recovery this year's injuries and get back on the field. But there is no room for error there. These guys have to carry themselves in a professional manner. Obviously they wouldn't be doing these antics if Ray Lewis was present. So it's kind of like, it's kind of funny. The general leaves and everybody parties, but we just don't want another mutiny on the ship kind of deal what happened to Brian Billick, where the players just lose faith and hope, and they all just do their own thing, and then we just hope that doesn't happen. So, again, that's my take on it, my spin on how this might play out. But it's really sucky to see that this could happen to one of our players, and you never want anybody to get hurt, whether it's on the field or off the field, and getting any legal trouble. So, and for that, and our organization for that matter, Brandon, is that's never followed us. We hire some good players to play for us, play like a Raven. We never hire these so-called cancers on the team who come in and disruptive legal behavior. So this organization is not known for that. So not to say that this overlooked with Brian McKinney and all the kind of behavioral situations, but hopefully Harbaugh will monitor this closely, and hopefully it really doesn't hurt the team or detrimental to our image or anything like that.
Yeah, I'm interested to see what's going to happen. I don't think the NFL is going to fine either of these guys. I don't think it's that, because they were on a party bus. It's not like anyone had a DUI or anything like that. And they didn't hit Sweet Pea. Sweet Pea was the one knocking Jacoby Jones over the head with a bottle. So it's not like they can get in trouble. I'm interested to see if Harbaugh does anything with Bryant McKinney. Does he bench him for the next game? I'm annoyed with Jacoby Jones just to the fact that he's supposed to be recovering and he's supposed to be rehabbing and he's supposed to be doing all this stuff to get back on that field. And if he's out at 3 a.m. partying, it seems like he's not taking this rehab seriously.
Did you say doghouse?
he might be in the doghouse. We'll see. But, I mean, he's already sitting out. So, what is Harbaugh going to do? Is he going to wait a little bit longer? Like, Tandon Doss, I mean, we'll talk about this coming up. He did pretty well doing returns this past week. Is he going to bench Jacoby for a game or two because Doss is doing well once Jacoby's all healed? I'm interested to see if Harbaugh does anything. I mean, he may do nothing. It's interesting to think about. But
hey, Tandon Doss did something that the New York Giants did not do, score a touchdown. Unprecedented. Tandon Doss, he single-handedly outscored the New York Giants football team. How about that?
And he goes from almost being cut to doing better than the entire...
Or he was cut.
Yeah, to being cut and hired back, and now he's doing better than the Giants in one game. That's cut, pretty crazy.
From cut player to unsung hero. Wow. We hire them all here in Ravens Nation.
All right. Well, let's hope Brian McKinney and Jacoby Jones straighten themselves out. And I don't know how many chances McKinney is going to get.
We're just not inviting Sweet Pea on any celebration.
No, not at all. Sweet Pea, all the Ravens got to stay away from
Sweet Pea, we love you, girl. But, I mean, please, can you treat our players well? Because we need them well enough to play for us on Sundays. We forgive you, but just cut the shenanigans, please, Sweet Pea.
All right, well, let's talk about this past Sunday's game. You were there in the stands. I was watching on TV. It was the Baltimore Ravens versus the Houston Texans. Now, last week we were talking, and I didn't give a score out because I said this game was going to be too close to call. But the Ravens did exceptionally well against this Houston Texans team. This Houston Texans team, they looked like they were really good at the beginning, but it seemed like they didn't play an entire football game. It looked like they were getting blown up and gassed towards the end, that they didn't really have a lot left in the tank. So I got to give it up to this Ravens football team. These guys looked good this past week, and even though there's still some stuff we got to work on like any team does, I was very happy with the offense. I was very happy with the way the defense played this past week.
I was too. Obviously surprised to see the score so lopsided, and you're right. The Texans came out gassed in the second half. It's much like the Ravens were in week one in Denver. And I was very impressed on how the Ravens handled it. I mean, they had, one or two first downs. less than 100 total yards of offense. And just, are we going to really see another offensive, just shut down? And just the defense kept us in the game, and it's a whole team effort. I mean, you look at the defense scored a touchdown, we scored a touchdown offense, special teams scored a touchdown, and we kept them at bay. And what's not to be overlooked is for the second straight week, we have not allowed a single offensive touchdown on defense. And just to break it down a bit, very impressive. We have allowed zero rushing touchdowns all year in three games. We allowed seven touchdowns in Peyton Manning's performance on Thursday Night Football 3 weeks ago, and then no touchdowns whatsoever, which is very impressive.
Absolutely. I'm so excited with the way they've looked. I was excited in the first two preseason games to see these guys because they were so young and quick, and then you see them against Denver, and you're like, oh, maybe they're not as good as I originally thought. But up against the Texans, this defense looked good. I was very impressed with Terrell Suggs, and so I was very impressed with these guys. These guys did a great job on defense. I think this is a very solid defense. I'm very happy with the work they're doing. The offense is the only place I really think there needs to be a little bit more work done. We brought up Tandon Doss already, and I was very impressed with, his return for a touchdown. Congratulations to him, but it seems like he may have found his niche as a special teamer in the NFL, because he was on the field with Flacco a few times, and he still wasn't able to catch the ball, so he doesn't seem like he's still... He still seems like he's having problems as a receiver, but as a special team guy, he was great this past week.
He absolutely was sensational. I mean, when he hit the gap, that play was coming towards us, and obviously the pick six was towards our end zone too, where we were sitting in the stadium. So it was just great to see that unfold, where when he hit that, just took off and showed great balance when he passed the kicker, and just how he just showed that balance on the sideline. I was very impressed with the skill set there. Did step out of bounds. It was a touchdown the whole way. Wow, it was just a great performance. Just breaking down the intricates of the game itself, I think where it was is we just had them on their number. I mean, the pressure was applied all day. At shop, didn't really get a pass over 18 yards completed. And what I think the difference was in the defensive secondary is Michael Huff didn't start, neither did Corey Graham. We have rookie Matt Elam in there and Jimmy Smith. Jimmy Smith has been stepping up the last couple weeks. I don't know if anybody's noticed his gameplay, but his gameplay is tremendously been approved, and I've been very happy with that. And it's pleasing to me to see how these players have matured, from week one to week three, and just a few short weeks. We got Trent Torch for seven touchdowns in the air, and then just that's it. And a lot of people are like, well, they play the Browns, and the Texans aren't no slouch either, but the Browns, I mean, look what they did against Minnesota. They put up some points. I mean, any team in the NFL is scoring points except the New York Giants. And I just had to throw that in there because it's pretty funny. So it just goes without saying is any team can beat anybody on any given Sunday, and all these teams are scoring points, and the Ravens are holding it without touchdowns and sticking to field goals. I'm loving it. I mean, they give up 49 points in week one and give up 15 points total within the last 2 weeks. That's football. And not only that, but we're scoring a little bit more. It took us a half to get our feet under us on offense, but you see what happened. Joe Flacco put a beautiful ball on the sideline in double coverage right after Torrey Smith, and he would have had another one if it weren't for an out-of-bounds play. We're finding it. Dallas Clark had some good conversions on some third downs. He had a drop early in the game, but he came back through. Bernard Pierce stepped in greatly for the Ray Rice void that was left. And he had a touchdown. So I was just pleased all around. Really, game ball is going to get to the old defense, Darryl Smith included, on Ray Lewis's induction, and that was even a special time at halftime. And another game ball definitely goes to our boy Tandon Doss. What a great add when we needed the most, and we went right back to, a player we cut who knows our system and provided that spark on special teams. So the return game was lacking in the last couple weeks, you would say. And there's my game balls going out there, and that's pretty much sums it up for the review of the game. I was just pleased all around, Brandon. 2-1, it was the goal, and they did it well. 30-9, that was Raven fashion, man.
Yeah, these guys did look very well. You know, Tandon Doss has got something up against the Houston Texans. Last year, even though that Houston Texans game was not a good game for the Ravens, that was Tandon Doss, I believe, his first NFL touchdown last year. So, I mean, there's just something about the Houston Texans that the Tandon Doss likes to play against. So, good for him if that works out for him. I do want to bring up Dallas Clark. He's a guy that we talk a lot about on this show. And everyone that's listened knows I'm not a big fan of Dallas Clark, but I got to give it up to him. He did look good this game. It seems like he may have kind of worked out the kinks possibly with Joe Flacco. And again, we've brought this up many times. I don't expect Joe to make every single pass. I don't expect every receiver to make every single catch at all. But Dallas Clark was dropping a lot of balls the last couple weeks. But this week, he looked solid, and I was very impressed with him.
I was too, man. I mean, I couldn't even say more when he outperformed even last week's. And he's just been, I've just been waiting for him to catch that stride, that spark in the offense. And it just was just so disheartening to see how it was happening on the field. I'm like, really? He dropped the touchdown pass in Denver. It was right there in his verbiage. Even Joe was in disbelief. He had a couple of key drops in the last couple of weeks, but he put together a solid game all around. And you're right, I was pleased on how he carried himself. It's what we need on this team. That's what I've been preaching in the last couple of weeks. If someone needs to step up, because that Dixon ain't catching any balls. I've yet to hear Brandon Stokely's name, so it's just we need guys to step up because we're depleted, and I think Marlon Brown's going to be a formidable asset to us. Torrey Smith, we already know what he can provide. Ray Rice is going to get better, and he'll be back in there, and Bernard Pierce was a great, great compliment to Ray Rice in the backfield, so I don't have any reservations. As long as we keep Flacco upright, and barring any partying on the offensive line in McKinney's sake, but hopefully, you know, Joe did well under pressure, and he was sacked a few times, but our defense was just relentless all day, and it summed up to a 30-9 win. And what was only special with that? But Ray Lewis's induction in the Hall of Fame. I'm getting ahead of myself 5 years, but the Ring of Honor, so to speak, the Ravens mini Hall of Fame. It was great to see. I heard, unfortunately for our TV audiences, they didn't show it on any national televised station. So for all the fans in attendance, it was a treat to see. And obviously, you can catch the video, the full speech on BaltimoreRavens.com. I strongly urge you to do so. It was a great speech all around. Ray had some great things to say about the organization, how they handle things, how his career was, and just his tie with the city. And even in his press conference, you know, it's his city, and he even told his ESPN buddies that he's going to be forever tied to Baltimore, and he is Baltimore, and he's always going to be a Raven, have that Raven mentality into forever, even into the Shrine of Hall of Fame in 5 years. So it was just very awesome to see the energized crowd. The crowd was just roaring when every time they showed him on the screen, every time he came out. And for the first time in my life at a football game, at halftime in a Ravens game, Brandon, I have to tell you, I've never seen everybody still in the stands, not a soul left. And obviously, when he broke and it was starting the third quarter, everybody left towards the concession. So it was just, he had everybody's attention. It was a great speech. Very well to see. Former Ravens were on the field. Peter Bowler was there. Matt Stover, Jonathan Ogden was in attendance. Former Colt Lenny Moore was there. Shoddy was on the field. Ozzie Newsome was on the field. So it was just great. And Jamal Lewis was even there. So it was great to see some former Ravens with some championships in the house who helped us win Super Bowl 35, and they're in the Ring of Honor. So all game, it was just a great win. Great win. Ray Lewis's induction was part of Ravens history. We're 2-1. Looking forward to next week's AFC matchup against the Bills.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's just let's jump right into that. It's going to be next Sunday at 1 o'clock, and the Ravens are on the road. Ravens are on the road up in Buffalo against the Bills. What is going to be the key here? Do you think that this is going to be a more offensive type of game, or do you think the defense is going to have to show up and play the majority of the game?
Well, this might be a 50-52-point shootout. No, I'm kidding. This isn't college football. No, I think it's going to be... This is one of these games where it can go either way. It's going to be close, or it's going to be a blowout. Obviously, I'm going to pick the Ravens in this one, and here's why. I just see with the rookie, E.T. Emanuel, I don't think he has anything against the Ravens defense. I mean, if we held I mean, Brandon Whedon is in no slouch. Just put it to you that way. I mean, Brandon Whedon's Brandon Whedon. He obviously didn't play Bobby Hoyer ever, whoever, Brandon Hoyer, whoever Hoyer played for the Cleveland Browns last week. He put up some points, and Matt Schaub, he's no slouch either. You know, I don't think E.J. Manuel is the answer against the Ravens defense for the Bills. I think we single-handedly handle him. I think we'll put pressure on him. I think we're going to sack him. I think we're going to pick him off a few times, maybe even another pick six in consecutive weeks. But I say right now, the containment is going to be on the offensive side. Can we move the ball on this Bills defense, and can we stop their weapon in C.J. Spiller? They have some good weapons. I mean, E.J. Manuel is a running quarterback. He's a rookie, mind that, but he is a scrambling quarterback like these RG3, Colin Kaepernick, Michael Vick prototypes. You're going to have to look out for him. Stevie Johnson in Buffalo, he's a good wide receiver for that team. And, he's sneaky. He gets open. He could put up some monster numbers. And the Ravens secondary, we know how they are. If there's blown coverages, E.J. is going to find them. I think, like I said, Brandon, it's going to be a close matchup or it's going to be blowout. I'm actually going to go on a limb and predict a blowout in this one in Buffalo. I'm going to say 27-10 Ravens in this one. That's my take on the game. I mean, it's just like I said, if we can contain C.J. Spiller, contain the running game, and neutralize that threat and keep that one-dimensional, just like what happened in most of the NFL games this weekend and like with the Texan game. If you stop their run, we neutralized Arian Foster, which if you go back on that game, that was one of the great things about the Ravens' game plan was they neutralized Arian Foster, made him one-dimensional. We can neutralize C.J. Spiller. I think the Ravens are single-handedly have this in the bag.
Yeah, I'm very confident the Ravens are going to be able to get the job done this week. The nice thing is this is a road game, but it is up north, so it's not like they're going across the entire country. They're not going to a place like Denver where you can get a lot of breathing problems or anything like that. You're going up to Buffalo, so it's not that long of a flight. So I think these guys aren't going to have to deal with a lot of the normal road issues that you got there. You're going to have a hostile fan environment, of course, but it's nothing these guys haven't seen before. So I think that these guys are going to play well. I was very impressed this past week up against Houston, and if they keep up what they're doing like they did against Houston and do the same thing to the Bills, I think that they're going to come out with a win here. I'm very hopeful that these guys are going to do well. I think that Terrell Suggs is going to have a great game. He might be my player of the game. I have a good feeling about that. And Joe's just been testing everybody out, and I think that Joe may finally be comfortable with all of these receivers. So I got to say Joe Flacco. Joe and Suggs are probably going to be my two big names of the game. I mean, that's pretty silly to say, given the fact that they're like the two stars of the team, but it's really going to be all on them. I'm very confident that they'll be able to get the job done. Joe, I think, is just going to have – I don't know if he's going to have a record – day, but I can see him throwing the ball a ton of times, and I think he's got a lot of confidence in Bernard Pierce, so I can see him, you know, passing the ball off to him a lot as well and be able to get a few yards. I think this offense is looking very good, and I think the Bills are going to have a tough time if they plan on taking down the Ravens this week.
I think they're a tough time too, and just on that, speaking of Terrell Suggs, I mean, he did notch his 87th career sack this past weekend, so I think he could have a great year. I mean, if he can, he's already had a sack in each of the three games, so if he keeps it up, I mean, that 16 sacks, he can easily sniff the 20-sack mark, and I'll be very happy to see that. He's looking just much like he did in 2011 Defensive Player of the Year for him. He said he's in shape, and with Dumervil over there, I mean, this defense is just, I'm telling you, they're underrated. I mean, you got Jorge Nada and R. Jones up the middle collapsing there. You got, and then Dumervil and Suggs on either side collapsing on the sides. Darryl Smith providing a great, great addition to this team and avoid place of Ray Lewis. No, I can replace 52, no one ever will. But a pick six and just strong playing up the middle, very great. I mean, Chris Candy, Marcus Spears all around. The secondary from Elam to Webb to Jimmy Smith. You know, Michael Off and Corey Graham are contributing right there, but right now they're sitting on the bench. Right now, I mean, this team can go places, and on offense, we can get our footing underneath it. Like you said, I'm telling you, I think it could be a start of something good, and you don't want this team to peak yet, because when this team peaks, that's when they start falling down. You don't want them to peak too early in the season, But as long as Joe Flacco said it best, and paraphrasing him in a presser he had this past week after the game, Brandon, he told us that, you know, we're winning football games. That's all cool. You know, we're finding our footing. We're finding our identity. The defense is playing well. We're holding it without touchdowns. The offense is still sputtering, but hey, we're finding it in the second half, and we're winning football games. Joe's like, what were to happen when we do find our footing? Our best football is ahead of us, not behind us, and that's what you have to be excited about, guys. It's not just, oh, we're winning football games. Well, we're not. The light bulb isn't on yet. We're not putting 350, 400 yards of offense up every week. It's 152, 250, 300 max, and but we're taking care of the football, no turnovers, and that's what it's come down to. We don't turn the ball over, and we play sound defense, and everybody does their jobs. It's going to be a win all around, and that's what I'm very excited about seeing in the next 3 to 4 weeks to unfold before we hit the meat of our schedule.
Yeah, absolutely. So I don't want these guys to peak yet, and if they're still working stuff out, that is fine. I kind of think this Buffalo game is a good time to get regular season football, and you can kind of experiment to see who can do what and who will do what they have to do. So this is going to be a good time to do it, especially in week four.
Week four.
And it's good to be 2-1 right now because some other teams aren't so lucky like we know of.
Like the Giants are 0-3. Who else was 0-3? Didn't you have a joke?
Oh yeah, that's right.
Share a joke, because we're trying to figure out who this other 0-3 team is. But,
right.
Share this joke, Brandon, because I share it with the nation here.
Right, of course. I am the one who knocks. So here we go. Knock, knock.
Who is there?
It's Owen.
Owen? Owen who?
0-3 Pittsburgh. That's right.
Well, that was I was waiting all show to talk about this, but I don't know if anybody watched that, but nothing was sweeter than to just watch Tomlin so mad on the sidelines and watch Big Ben just shrug and shake his head and blah, blah, blah. Man, that was great. All those stupid yellow towels can just be put away. There was nothing better than the Bears just taking it to the house. I don't know if you watched the game, Brandon, but it was just hilarious.
I didn't really watch a lot of games. I was watching Breaking Bad last night, of course, since there's only two episodes left. I didn't get to see a lot of that, but man, this is going to make an interesting Thanksgiving game that I'm already looking forward to with the Ravens and the Steelers.
We might be feasting all around.
It's not just going to be eating turkey that day. So we'll see what's going on there. But
they're just horrible. hey, we can see. We're going to see how many weeks we can keep this Owen joke up. Man, I like to go 0-8, 0-9, and I don't love it. But a win's great for the Ravens. But what's even better is just watching the demise of the Steelers. And a friend of mine even said to me yesterday. He says, "I think this is the worst Pittsburgh team I've seen in the last 20 years." And I just started laughing. I'm like, I mean, our time's coming too because we're going to be that bad too. Yeah, but it's just great to see our bitter rival, our bitter enemy over there, just can't find a footing. I mean, they're dead last in the division. Even the Browns are ahead of them, and the Bengals are right up there with us at 2-1. So just our division's just starting to create that separation. But you know, the season's only young and fresh, and we're reaching the fourth quarter of the first quarter as week number four approaches. You know, our first quarter of the season's gone already. Man, it's already 4 weeks in, bro. It's this is a love hate for football season. It comes, it's so far away, and it comes, and then we're already in week 4 of 17. Can you believe it?
I know.
It gets depressing every time I see it. It's 12, 13, week 14. I'm like, no. But you know what that means? Another week closer to another playoff berth, and the Ravens looking good, sitting pretty in the AFC 2-1. 3-1's goal this weekend, so let's keep that winning ways and let's get a road win, shall we?
Absolutely. So, did we miss anything?
Did we miss anything? Oh, one more thing, though. Before we get to our not a chance, and I have to give it kudos. The crowd was great. Ed Reed came back obviously in Baltimore this week, and he greeted the crowd, and there was a chance of Reed in the stands, and he bowed to the crowd and was waving, and and him and Harbaugh shared a hug in midfield, and it was really great to see Ed back, and you know how Flacco never really went in his direction, stayed away, and I mean it was bittersweet. It was really weird to see Ed in enemy colors, but you know what? I mean, his demeanor in his press conference, he still tied the city. Obviously, the fans didn't boo. We know it's a business decision. He really weird. I wouldn't say he wasn't a factor. It's really weird to say Ed Reed wasn't a factor, but I mean he really was because obviously Joe stayed away from him, and I noticed that. And going back and looking at the game, you know, talking about Ed Reed, I actually noticed how the Ravens would run away from him. Like if Ed Reed was lined up right, they would run left, and it just was really weird to see. But hey, it was great to see Ed Reed back. And I was forgot to mention that all the hoopla, the win, and everything. But again, with Ray coming back, it was good to see Ed Reed back in town. We wish him the best in Houston, but we had the best of him and his new team this weekend, and. It sucks he's on enemy lines, and he's a Texan now. He'll forever be a Raven. Miss you, Ed. Can't wait to see you back in your own Ring of Honor ceremony and in your Hall of Fame induction soon to come later in life. So, we wish Ed the best. We miss him, number 20. Great memories. So, with that said, I don't think there's not a chance in the world.
No, not a chance at all.
Not
so,
a chance.
So we're looking forward to this Sunday up against the Buffalo Bills. If you want to talk any more about the Baltimore Ravens, it's easy to get in contact with Josh or I. We are both on Twitter. You can follow me at Brando Cash. And Josh, where can people follow you at?
They can follow me at ItalianGQ52.
That's right. Now make sure you go over to Facebook and like The Call Podcast. Go to Facebook.com/The Call Podcast. Like us over there. We'll let you know whenever a new episode is about to hit the airwaves. You can also like the Brando Cash Network, Facebook.com/Brando Cash. Like us over there. Thank you so much for listening to the show. There's so many different ways you can do it. Tell a friend. Let them know that they can listen to us on iTunes, the podcast app on the iPhone or iPad or iPod. They can also listen to us on Stitcher if they are an Android user or have a Kindle or anything like that. Let people know how to do it. Be social with us. Let people know on Twitter, on Facebook, on Tumblr, on Pinterest, on Vine, on Instagram, on Reddit. Anytime that you can talk about the Baltimore Ravens, make sure you let people know that they should listen to The Call Podcast as well. And if you are on iTunes, make sure you leave us an iTunes review and share the link and let people know. And that would really be helping us out and letting us become a bigger show than ever before. So with that being said, that's pretty much it. Go Ravens against Buffalo this week. Josh, take us out the way you always do.
I'll take it out, Brandon. Thank you very much, everybody, for listening. Once again, it's always The Call. Always a pleasure talking everything and anything Ravens. We got the Bills Sunday at 1 o'clock. They stand in our way for a 3-1 record. They're going to try to even our record at 2-2, but we're not going to let that happen. Let's march on forward. I think we're going to handle the Buffalo Bills quite handily. But, hey, that's just my opinion. Let the team do the talking. Let's go, Baltimore Ravens. Fly high Sunday.
This has been a production of the Brando Cash Network. Music mixed and produced by DJ Wolfman.